This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
How about this in New York, right? This is crazy. So the Mets and the Marlins are playing. And, you know, speaking of the Mets, I kind of still wish the Pirates were in the NL East. Those were muck the Fets. Exciting times. I love baseball, but, you know, in the NL Central do, but the NL East was something else. So it is the ninth inning. It's tied 2-2. Anthony Bass comes in. He's a reliever for the Marlins. You have Michael Conforto up. He's a left-handed hitter. Anthony Bass is a right-handed pitcher. So he's in, and he throws a slider. And it starts to eke toward the inner half of the plate. It's on the plate, and it's a strike. Conforto, he looks like RoboCop. He's got 15 different things affixed to him. One on his left elbow, his right elbow, which is his lead elbow because he's a left-handed hitter. And he gives the old lean it in. As the bases are loaded and the score's tied 2-2. The bases are loaded, the score's tied 2-2, and the Mets are the home team. And I will let SNY pick it up from there.
Now the slider in there, strike three.
Was a strike, but he didn't move, and Don Mattingly is going to come out and argue the call with the home plate umpire Ron Culpa.
The ball hit him, and it was going to be a strike.
Yep.
So the Mets are celebrating, the Marlins are arguing, and unless this is overruled, the Mets have themselves a 3-2 win.
Okay, so Ron Culpa says to his other umpire friends, we need to have a caucus about this. Let's talk. Don Mattingly's losing his mind. The Mets, they're dumping bottles of water on each other. They untuck their shirts. They're celebrating. This looks odd. Maybe it was a strike, but he did get hit by the pitch. It was a strike. He got hit by the pitch. Umpire friends, what do we do about all this? And then SNY picks it up from there again.
What are they calling it? What are they saying?
They're saying the play stands. Game's over. The Mets win it.
Wow.
That's...
Michael Conforto clearly stuck his elbow into it, and Mattingly's coming out and arguing, but I'm sure he's going to be told that that's not reviewable.
But you're trying to get it right. They don't get it right, so why even have replay?
So Michael Conforto gets a game-winning RBI by sticking his elbow into the pitch from Anthony Bass, and the Mets rally for two in the bottom of the ninth, and only now can they fully celebrate as the umpires say that the game is over. What a bizarre way to end the game.
Raise a Jolly Roger. I mean, how bad is that? And here's the thing. If you have so much replay in this game, how is that not reviewable? I get it. It's a judgment call, and so it falls under that, and it's not one of the reviewable plays. But this is why, Chris, I always say, just don't even have reviewable replay if you can't replay it's something as consequential as that.
Well, I mean, if it's a ball and strike call, and right now that's not reviewable. It should be reviewable, to be quite honest. I understand you're opening Pandora's box to reviewing balls and strike calls, but this is where the robot umps are going to come in. And the robot ump would have ticked that up as a strike, right? And once you've got a robot ump strike zone in there, and that's recognized as a strike, it takes it out of the umpire's hands when they go to review it. So this is just a matter of, once again, we're back to talking about robot umps because the actual umps can't use the subjectivity that they're allowed to use to come to a decision, because we've got to make everything black and white and objective. And step one, step two, step three, no, you can't introduce variables A, B, or C to this conversation, because then that introduces subjectivity and we're not allowed to do that. This is replay. It's objective. And this is, you know, we go back and forth all the time, especially in regards to the NFL, Colin. I believe you get as many calls right as you can. This was an opportunity, and I understand because of the way their replay rules are written that they couldn't overturn this thing. But this is an opportunity now for baseball to get something right, and if they don't act on it, then you're going to continue
this
to
is
see
where
things not be deemed non-reviewable when everybody and their mother can see that the wrong call was made.
We talk about sky judging football. Baseball almost needs it more because of all the nuances. You know, that to me is the sport that has just probably more nuances than any other sport is baseball. And that is where a sky judge would buzz in and go, hey, guys, hold up, hold up. Or a war room somewhere. Hold up, hold
right,
up.
Right.
Look, credit to the SNY announcers who are the home announcers for going, this doesn't smell right. I mean, the Mets will take the win, but this ain't right. You know, this wasn't a big celebratory thing. It was thievery. Like, the Mets should have got the W with a gun and a ski mask. It was that bad. And credit to Darling and those guys for telling it like it was. But back to the issue at hand here. Again, if a layer of replay, and I'll go to my grave with this one. If layers of replay can't get this one right, why do we have it at all? Why do we have it at all? Because I'm a firm believer, and you do make a really good point, that replay fixes a lot of stuff. I'm a firm believer that over the course of a summer, over the course of a game, over the course of all of it, the human element evens it all out. There's just as many good calls as bad calls, and there's just as many against your team as for your team in the course of all of it, and we were in just a very fine place without any replay that we don't need any of it.
Well,
it evens out.
But here's my retort to that, which is, if everything evens itself out in the end, why are we mad about Conforto dipping his elbow into the zone? Because a call will go against the Mets at some point.
I'm mad.
Summer,
you know what I'm mad about? I'm mad that a perceptive second base or first base umpire didn't come together and those guys didn't work together and they say, wait a minute, I got something different. Let's work as four guys here. Because what else are they watching at that point?
Well, And I'm more annoyed at the fact that replay is in place here, yet no one acknowledges what actually happened, and instead they all throw their hands up and say, sorry, nothing we can do. That's not the way the rule's written. Well, no. Look at what happened and adjudicate what actually happened. And when you take layers of subjectivity away, you try to make everything objective. This is something, because of the strike zone, that in this instance, because it's not a robot umpire, is still subjective. And when the umpire himself says after the game, I blew it, which he did.
Yes,
he said,
he admitted it
was in the strike zone. I should have called it a strike. That you have to, that's the point of replay. You have to be able to fix it. If you do not allow, I don't care if it's the crew chief.
Right, and my point is then, why is it there? If you can't fix the egregious, why is it there? But here's what you can have. 2 days ago, you could have a guy in a pop-up slide fall off a base for a millisecond, and you review it, and he's out. But you can't fix that one. What are we doing with replay in these games?
Well, and this is, again, like I said, this is an opportunity for Major League Baseball to create a system where that is something that can be overturned. Because we can also, if it's plain to the naked eye upon replay, and I'm not even talking about slowing it down frame by frame. You didn't have to do that in the case of yesterday. You could see it in real time that Conforto's elbow dipped into the zone. Then it should be able to be overturned. There should be somebody in New York that can say, when they're talking to those guys on the headsets, listen, I'm just telling you right now, that ball was a strike. I'm looking at it right now on the videotape. You need to call that a strike, and that is not the end of the game. Get back out there. But instead they go, sorry, we're not allowed to review that.
Now, the Marlins stink. They're as bad as the Pirates, but the Mets they might end up being okay this year. Who knows? I kind of hope they make it by one game. I hope they make the wild card by one game, and everybody circles that game on the eighth day of April all the way back that got them in. All right, and we said the Pirates, it's going to be a rough season, more than likely. They're not starting out great. They are 1-6, I guess it is. But there's one thing that maybe will get me through all summer. I think I can latch on to this. And it's incumbent upon this guy playing well. He needs to keep playing well. But one thing I think is going to pull me all the way through all summer. Top of the hour, some compelling, really compelling audio from a Steelers receiver that everything he does is compelling, or at least newsworthy, it seems. So there was that. Mike DeFabo, Post-Gazette, 8 o'clock. We talk Penguins with him, and relax. Just relax. Feels like the Penguins are back if they ever went away for just a couple periods, maybe four out of their last six periods. They were bad before last night, and it seems like they're back. Why don't we get to right now?
Come on, everybody.
Twitter
bowl. Let's tweet.
There you go, producer Matt, my man.
For the Fan Morning Show's Twitter poll.
Matt, do you enjoy the Twitter poll? It seems to have spiked in people. Every day it grows.
Love the Twitter
poll. Grows and grows and grows. All right, daily Twitter poll from yesterday. If you could watch only one major for the rest of your life, which one would you watch? Masters, PGA, British, or U.S. Open? Overwhelming here. 79.2% of the respondents say the Masters. 12.2% say the U.S. Open. 6.3% say the British and the PGA. Just get rid of it. Make the fourth major that wild nonsense out in Phoenix, because just 2.2% say the PGA. The PGA isn't much fun, I don't think. I mean, it's a distant fourth major, though.
I know it's technically a major, but it's kind of on par with, if not behind, like the Players and the Waste Management.
I am with you. Man, I am with you. The PGA is like, it's a major by definition only, not necessarily excitement at all for me. Daily Twitter poll, go ahead and vote. This one should be good. Who's going to hit the most home runs for the Pirates this season? Hayes, Moran, Phil Evans, or other? Cabrian Hayes, 42.3%. Colin Moran, 38.1%. Other, 10.6%. And Phil Evans, 9%. I told this off the air yesterday. I don't think I told it on the air. They were doing those workouts last year, like to get ready after there was things going on waiting for COVID. And there was a bunch of guys working out in Greentree. You know, it was Neil Walker, it was Kutch, it was some minor leaguers. It was a bunch of people that were kind of living here, getting ready for what was going on and where they were going to be dispatched to as they were waiting for. And then there was a labor situation, of course, you know, all of that was happening. And I was texting with Andrew McCutcheon. He texted me back and he said, I'll tell you what. This guy, Phil Evans, is hitting absolute rocket ships in places where nobody else is hitting the ball. And I sent back 5 question marks. And then Phil Evans? Come on, man. He was like, I'm serious. I don't know what his future is, but I know he hits the ball really dang, because he doesn't swear, Andrew, really dang far. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, I got to check up on this. Like, I'm sure he's not fibbing. So I immediately texted Walker. I go, tell me about this Phil Evans. And Walker texts me back. He's like, he was hitting ropes today. And I'm like, okay, I guess the guy was. And I told Matt the next day, I'm like, Phil Evans, I don't know what he's ever going to be, but apparently even other major leaguers are like, this guy hits gargantuan home runs in these scrimmages that they have.
Yeah, and at that time, who?
Yeah, that's what we were like. Who's this guy?
Then he got trucked by Big Greg.
I know.
It was all downhill from there.
It was all downhill. All right, I can be. Look, the Pirates are 1-6. They're probably going to lose 100 games. You root for them every day. You hope to see some stories out of them. It is what it is. I want to see growth from some things. I can get on board with one story lasting all summer, though. That is for sure. And it has to be around David Bednar, who is a bullpen guy. He's a guy whose old man is from the rocks. He is from Mars. So his dad moved on up in the world. He moved from the rocks up to Mars, and he does come out now. This is great. He comes out to renegade. Now, Derek Shelton was asked about this.
Yeah, I think it was awesome. You know, we talk about receptions, you know, being on the mound when he came into the game. That was the loudest reception we had all day. And when you have a hometown kid and be able to come bounce back in, get the out, I thought it was outstanding. Special moment for him. Really cool.
Shelty, did he explain to you, or do you know the significance of him coming out to renegade?
Oh, I know 100% the significance of renegade. So I can't wait to be at a Steeler game and actually see it in person. But I think it's cool that he did it. And you know what's going to be really cool is when this place packed and he comes in a game, they're going to go ballistic.
Give me that all summer. Just give me side storyline. Now, Bednar had, I don't know. I know there's restrictions or whatever, but it looked like he had about 742 people in that one private box. And he explains.
Just really special, man. It was just really can't put into words. Just hearing them go crazy in their section was just really cool. And I'm just really happy they were able to share it with me. Family, some cousins from Philly and Ohio, cousins from the area, my girlfriend, her family.
Now, all those people. Now, to the meat of it, Chris. What about this renegade? He comes running out. You know, you have a bunch of people over time, especially closers, that had the song that's kind of associated with them. You think of a bunch of different closers and kind of Hell's Bells and different things. Mm-hmm. You have Bednar coming out. He's not a closer. He's just a bullpen guy to renegade. Come on, man.
It's always kind of been in the back of my mind to use it as a walkout. And, you know, as soon as I got traded, I was like, you know what? It's it's automatic. At the Steel games, it always gets everybody fired up. So I figured, why not?
There we go.
It's really a perfect closer walkout song, too, if it ends up being that. Because it's any reliever, really. Because it's enough time, you know, the slow buildup of the song, to walk in, jog in from the bullpen, kind of get situated on the mound, and just as you start throwing those first couple warm-up pitches, bang, it hits. I mean, the timing is just perfect for it. And, yes, I am all in on David Bednar buying into his Yinzer roots.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's the Fan Morning Show closer right there.
Yes, absolutely. Bring him in as much as you can. And, you know, all joking aside, and there is no joke about his old man being from the Rocks and all his old man's buddies loving the fact he's coming in to renegade. That is spectacular. All kidding aside, in the sea of the Pirates probably aren't going to win a lot of games this year, there is a real story with David Bednar in that he could solidify a spot in the bullpen for a couple. He has a real chance to be one of those guys like, this is your major league career. What can you do with it? You got a real chance right now. He could be an eighth inning guy. He could potentially grow into a closer. He could be a nail down face a guy or two sort of. He has a chance. He's fighting for his major league life, and it can go a lot of places from here.
Well, yeah. You hope as a Pirates fan, and I've explained this several times in the lead up to this season and now that it's started, that enough guys play well enough through the first half that you can flip them for things at the deadline. And that would include Richard Rodriguez, Chris Stratton, Kyle Crick, guys like that, that, you know, there will be teams looking for bullpen pieces come trade deadline time. You can flip those guys. And Bednar right now, the way he's pitched throughout spring training and the first couple appearances of the regular season, would then slot into one of those back-end roles in the eighth or ninth inning. And moreover, when you look at the roster, and I've said this several times too, and you look at it and search for guys who are going to be a part of the next contending Pirates team, the next competitive Pirates team, let alone the next contending team, it's not a long list of guys, to be quite honest. It's Ke'Bryan Hayes, maybe Newman, maybe Reynolds. Yeah. And Bednar, you look at that and you say, okay, well, maybe this guy. Maybe this guy is a bullpen piece who really solidifies a major league career this year here in his hometown. And the solidifying of that role in the back end of a bullpen doesn't mean he gets shipped out. It means he stays here at home.
Yeah, absolutely, positively. So he's the Fan Morning Show. He's the official bullpen man of the Fan Morning Show. That's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.